morning, ladies and gentlemen. As you see, our third seat this morning is vacant. And Judge Ripple suffers from the one occupational disease that federal judges and professional basketball players had in common, which is neck and back problems. And he is unfortunately in treatment at this moment. He will listen to the recordings of the oral argument and participate in the decision of the cases. So we are ready to hear the first case this morning, Chortek against Milwaukee. Mr. Sperling.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. I appear on behalf of the appellants in this matter. This is a Fourth Amendment case, and as the Court well knows, the Fourth Amendment prohibits unreasonable searches and seizures of all persons, houses, papers, and effects. What happened to the appellant here was that they're unreasonably seized under the Fourth Amendment. The facts, which I'll recite briefly, are that for a non-criminal, non-violent, minor municipal ordinance violation of selling or attempting to sell a ticket to a game, basketball games, primarily basketball games, for at or below face value, the appellants were seized and handcuffed by the police at about game time in front of hundreds of people, taken to a police van, held there for about an hour, still in handcuffs, then taken to the city jail where they are processed like felons, being thoroughly searched, including pat-downs in the crotch area, placed in a cell with felons. They're not allowed phone calls, with one exception. They're held in custody for an average of 7 to 10 hours and released in the early hours of the morning after being fingerprinted and given their citation. The Atwater case is cited by the lower court in support of its decision. But what happened in our case, was far worse than what happened in Atwater. Mrs. Atwater was held in the jail alone for about an hour before being taken before a magistrate and released. She was not searched. Compare that to what happened to the...
Did the court in Atwater say anything about the time of detention?
Well, Your Honor, they made reference to it. Justice Souter made reference to it in saying that Mrs. Atwater was only held for about an hour in support of his decision. Other than that, when they said it was only an hour, they said it wasn't much more than normal custodial arrest, and they said it was about an hour. So the length of time was discussed in Atwater. Our case, of course, Your Honor, the people were held for in total approximately an average of 7 to 10 hours. Atwater also concerned the court in Atwater also was concerned with whether a police officer on the
street... Is it your position that the city of Milwaukee has a policy of holding arrestees too long?
My position, Your Honor, is that they have a policy that they do not have any, that their policy is they hold arrestees for municipal violations, ordinance violations, with no limit on the time that they hold them. It's essentially unlimited. There's no cap on the time that they hold them.
I don't know what that means. Presumably, everybody's being held for the time necessary to process them. Is it perhaps your view that it is the city policy that people are held longer than the time needed to complete processing?
Well, longer than is needed to complete processing and or longer than is necessary for the type of offense. I think there's a balance that needs to be drawn.
Those are different questions, and you need to hear my question with the emphasis on the word policy, because you sued only the city of Milwaukee and the police chief, and under Monell, they can't be liable for any decisions of their subordinates to hold people in particular cases. So in order to get anywhere under Monell, you have to show a policy. The city's policy can't be dictated by any delay in the courts. If the courts are overburdened, that's not part of the city's policy. So you need to show something about what the city's policy is. And that's why I'm asking these questions. So what is your position about what the city's policy is?
The city's policy, Your Honor, as enunciated by the chief, is that people can be arrested for municipal violations and held for an indeterminate period of time. That there's no cap on the period of time that they can be held for. That is the city policy. In addition, the city also has a policy, and Chief Jones endorsed this.
Let me come back. Let me ask you once again. Are you arguing that the city has a policy of holding people longer than is necessary to complete the processing that all people are subject to on arrest?
I would say, Your Honor, that they don't have a policy to hold people longer than is necessary to complete the processing, although I argue with the processing that should be completed for a minor citation, a municipal citation. I would argue that they have a policy to process people. They have a policy to go through a various administrative tasks that they set up themselves, which are inappropriate for insignificant municipal nonviolent ordinance violations where there's no harm involved. And
what's the status of Judge Easterbrook's opinion in Graminos at this point after Atwater?
He made the
comment that maybe the city ought to, or whoever was involved there, ought to do some of the processing on their own time if they were taking an excessive amount of time to do it.
Well, I think
that's still good law after Atwater.
I think it's no question it's still good law. Atwater only talked about was not a length of detention case. Atwater was only in custody for an hour. Judge Easterbrook in Graminos said,
"You know, it doesn't really matter who wrote the opinion."
Okay. I'm sorry. He referred to Your Honor. He referred to you that the court in Graminos. The court in Graminos said that suggested that the police, if they're going to perform time-consuming tasks for a minor violation, that it should perhaps do so on their own time rather than keeping the suspects locked up in the interim. In Graminos' case concerned a shoplifting case. Our case concerned something I think far less significant than a shoplifting case. The court in Moore also discussed...
Yeah, but you can't make those distinctions after Atwater, can you?
Well, Your Honor, I think you can make the distinctions in reference in the balance as to how long you hold somebody in custody. I mean, I think the balance, when you look at the totality of the circumstances, you have to balance, and even with probable cause, you have to balance the fact that for something that is insignificant and minor, that you're not going to hold someone for 8 or 10 hours.
That, of course, was the position taken by the dissent in Atwater, and it's not one that's open to us.
Except, Your Honor, I would indicate that the court in Atwater did cite the hour. I think the court in Atwater would have held differently if Mrs. Atwater had been held for 8 hours and if there was a departmental order that said we're going to arrest all people who didn't have their children's seatbelts.
You know, Riverside against McLaughlin said that if you arrest somebody on probable cause, the presumptive processing time is 48 hours or less. There was, of course, a dissent in Riverside which said that that's too long. But your client certainly wasn't held even close to what Riverside said was the presumptive maximum.
Now, Your Honor, I think Riverside versus McLaughlin is, when you're dealing with criminal cases, which these cases all refer to, and sometimes felony cases, I think that's a substantial distinction between criminal case
exactly
and
the
one
argument made by the dissent in Atwater. And the majority said probable cause to believe somebody has committed a crime is probable cause, so there.
Now, the court also said if there's probable cause, but it was extraordinary, then if it's extraordinary, then the manner of the arrest was extraordinary, then they have individualized treatment and do the balancing act as to whether the Fourth Amendment applies, balancing the police department's interest against the privacy interest of the appellant. As far as the time, what was extraordinary in Atwater, they cited and Wren, they cited Welsh, and they cited other cases. Welsh was a drunk driving case where they came into someone's home without a warrant. court said that was inappropriate. Atwater court cited Welsh, and the Welsh court said that was inappropriate on a drunk driving case. Here we have a case where people are being seized, not even coming into their home, but people are being seized and their freedom being taken away, you know, for a insignificant violation of trying to sell a ticket where there's no potential harm or there's no danger to anybody. That is, so even Atwater allows in an extraordinary manner, if it's done in an extraordinary manner, which I would contend is clearly what's extraordinary, compare that to the cases cited in Atwater. And with this, if it's extraordinary manner, you're looking at an unreasonable search, unreasonable seizure, I should say, under the Fourth Amendment. Discussing Gromenos again, Your Honors, the court stated in Gromenos that custodial arrest becomes a substantial part of the penalty. And that's exactly what we're talking about. We have something here where you can't go to jail for this offense. All you have to do is pay a fine. It's not even a criminal charge. In Texas, in Atwater, it was considered a criminal case. In our case, it's not even considered by our legislature as a criminal case. It's only considered to be an ordinance, civil case. In Gromenos, they talk about a substantial part of the penalty, particularly in minor cases. And you talk about Moore, the court discussed in Moore, which I think also is good law, as to whether 4 hours is an acceptable period of time for a minor offense. Our offense was even less serious than the offense in Moore, which were people left the restaurant without paying their bill. So even Gromenos discusses the minor, the severity of the offense is, and whether it's a minor offense, is one of the factors that you look at in determining what's reasonable under the Fourth Amendment. Gromenos also noted that in traffic cases, which are more serious than our case, where people there's a chance of harm, Gromenos also said in traffic cases, people are usually cited and released on bond. If you have a speeding case, that's usually what happens. That's what's reasonable typically under speeding cases. A speeding case is more serious than our case because in speeding, someone could get to an accident and there could be an injury. In this case, there really was essentially no chance of harm and no chance of injury. What they did here in this case, and essentially was their policy, was that they treated our people essentially the same as they treated felons or murderers. I asked one of the jail supervisors in his deposition, I said, what, you treat murderers the same as people selling tickets? And he goes, yes, we treat them all the same. This shows, this is the policy that's endorsed by and enunciated by Chief Jones. They treat murderers the same as people selling tickets. They process them the same, essentially the same. They go through the same search. They're held in a holding cell. My people are put in holding cells. One guy was put in a holding cell with a murderer. Almost all of them were put in holding cells with people charged with violent felonies. Gromenos and Moore, they're both good law, and Atwater doesn't affect at all what Gromenos and Moore stand for, because those talk about the extent and length of duration. And extent and length of duration, if more than 4 hours, is something that this court has said should be open to question as to the reasonableness, especially in the middle of the night.
Was it your position that 4 hours is the benchmark of a reasonable detention?
Well, Your Honor, I think you have to draw the line somewhere. The court in Gromenos discussed the American Law Institute and said 2 hours, absent special circumstances. The court said 4 hours in Gromenos and more in the middle of the night. They also seriously open the question as to reasonableness, especially for a minor offense. I would say 4 hours, if you draw the line somewhere for insignificant offenses, 4 hours would be a good place to draw. 2 to 4 hours is what I would say. I think if you balance it out, the more insignificant the offense, or if it's an ordinance violation, not a criminal violation, people should be held less time. The privacy interest and the seizure of these people should be less than should be less should be less if it's a more, if it's an insignificant violation. But I would draw the line at 2 to 4 hours. Atwater talked about 1 hour. That's saying that was okay. But I think somewhere 2 to 4 hours is where it should be drawn. The court in Moore indicated that if no reasonable excuse was presented, or if that excuse was legitimately disputed, liability should be heard by a jury. This is a summary judgment case. I think that this is a matter that where we do dispute the fact that it went through all these administrative tasks, unnecessary administrative tasks, while being held for an insignificant violation. So we dispute, we think the excuse is not reasonable, and we think it should, it is disputed. So therefore, this is not a case that should be decided on summary judgment, but the case should be decided by a jury. If I use my rebuttal time, then, Your Honor.
Yes, your time has expired.
Thank you.
Ms. Wyman.
I believe that the appellants in this case are focusing on two very distinct policies of the Milwaukee Police Department. The first involves whether or not it was appropriate for officers in this particular situation to summarily arrest individuals on scene. Second policy relates to the length of time that the individuals were detained while they were processed through the Milwaukee Police Department's prisoner processing section. With reference to the decision to arrest, I think Atwater has made it clear that law enforcement officers may arrest an individual if that person is observed committing even a municipal forfeiture violation in the presence of the officer. In this case, the Bradley Center in the city of Milwaukee was undergoing problems having to do with ticket scalpers getting very, very aggressive with their patrons in front of the Bradley Center premises.
The statute here, or the ordinance here, doesn't use the word scalper, does it? Isn't that a gloss that you're putting on the situation?
It seems to me
a scalper is someone who's trying to make money on the deal.
Somebody
who's trying to get rid of his ticket at some reduced price.
Well, according, and I think that's generally what people believed, and I believe the appellants in this case believe that themselves, and that they all admitted that they were attempting to sell their tickets that they had left over or extra at face value or less than face value. However, the ordinance particularly focuses on ticket sellers. It does not use the term scalpers. That is a term of art that I believe is used by law enforcement officers and came up quite frequently during the course of depositions and discovery work done on this case. But in any event, it was a serious situation that was occurring. Bradley Center representatives were having their physical and personal safety threatened by ticket sellers who were becoming quite aggressive. That particular year, the bucks were very hot. Those tickets were being sold at great cost to people entering the Bradley Center, and of course, the ticket sellers were getting very, very aggressive about their territory and about making these sales. In any event, the problem arose to such a level that the Bradley Center representative came to the Milwaukee Police Department seeking assistance. In determining that it would provide service to the Bradley Center, the Milwaukee Police Department lieutenant who designed this ticket selling or scalping initiative had determined that all individuals who were observed on this premise committing acts or behaving in such a way as to suggest that they were violating the ordinances at hand, that everyone would be arrested and everyone would be summarily arrested. Their initial work had shown that when they arrested people or stopped people to detain them and gave them a citation on scene, they would simply return back to the premise and continue to harass fans, continue to be a problem for the Bradley Center representatives. So a decision was made to summarily arrest these individuals. And at the time, we did not have the Atwater case. As the Atwater case has now shown us, it was perfectly appropriate and constitutional for those individuals on scene selling tickets to be arrested.
What does the record show about the need for the processing steps that caused the plaintiffs to remain in custody for the length of time that they did?
I think all of the information provided by the City of Milwaukee defendants, appellees, has not been contradicted by the appellants in this case. It shows clearly that each person was treated like every other person summarily arrested by the Milwaukee Police Department, regardless of what the citation or crime or allegations of bad behavior were. They were brought to the police department. They were walked through a medical screening process to determine any health issues relative to the arrestee. Their property was taken from them in inventory to protect both the arrestee and police officers. They were given the initial information was taken from them in order to assist the officers in preparing the initial booking documents and citation documents to identify the individual.
Doesn't this strike you? It strikes me as kind of odd that one would do this for people who are expected to be released again immediately. What sense does it make to have the same processing steps for people who are going to be in prison for the foreseeable future and people who are going to be out again forthwith? Well, I guess not forthwith in Milwaukee, but real soon now.
Given the circumstances, I think there are many levels here. First of all, I think officers and law enforcement, when they process individuals, they don't know who they have until they have them. Until they have them and can take fingerprints, can verify identification, can do wanna checks. They don't know if an individual they've arrested for a municipal forfeiture violation on the street is someone that is also wanted on a more serious crime. They don't know that until they brought the person down to the processing section, obtained identifying information, and then checked that information.
Most states have systems in which they can do that pretty much by looking at somebody's driver's license and typing it into a computer. Out it pops.
Correct.
Doesn't take 6 hours to find that out.
But many people use fraudulent driver's license. Many people pretend to be individuals who they are not. The more sophisticated means used by law enforcement to verify identification, I think, help protect law enforcement in making sure
the theory is that if you're arresting a group of people who have set out to violate the law, they're more likely to have false identification.
I believe that would be a general theory.
Any data support that belief?
I believe personal experience from the law enforcement officers are out in the field. And I believe that procedures that are in place throughout this country relative to processing prisoners support this notion in that when someone is in custody, law enforcement, not only in Milwaukee but across the country, do verify identification, make sure that particular individual is not.
Do you have any data as to how this length of time, 7 to 10 hours or whatever it is, compares with other communities of similar size and complexity?
No, we did not conduct a study with that regard. We looked at the data that we had with Milwaukee Police Department showing the number of arrests on a particular evening, showing the minimum number of arrestees who were arrested relative to the ticket selling or ticket scalping initiative. We looked at the time frame that each individual was processed, given the personnel involved, and given the work that had to be done. We also looked at and presented the court with information regarding the fact that supervisory personnel were monitoring this process, making sure that each step was properly taken, making sure that each step was taken as efficiently as possible. Officers worked through the evenings to
be sure. Well, they were, it was done as expeditiously as possible.
Correct. Correct.
Were they? Were they looking at that too?
Correct. Given the resources available, given the not only the sworn law enforcement personnel involved in the process, but also those civilian employees who are involved in the process of doing the paperwork, doing the wanted checks, doing the processing of those
documents. Does processing take the same amount of time if the arrestee arrives at 9 o'clock in the morning, if it arrives at 8 o'clock at night, or...
I would think that.
I
would think if you're looking at 9 o'clock in the morning on a weekday, you're looking at a significantly less amount of time to be processed through the city jail. These arrests took place mostly on weekend evenings at times of the sporting events in downtown Milwaukee, also times of other activity downtown Milwaukee.
Yeah, working with a skeleton crew or something of that sort?
Not at all. Four to six officers were assigned to the ticket.
Most of the crew is out watching the game.
Not sure about that, but with reference to this particular initiative, I believe the staffing was four to six officers to the initiative itself, and then, of course, the standard or normal crew assigned to the processing section of the Milwaukee Police Department.
Now, the time of detention was not an issue in the Atwater case, is that correct?
I don't believe so. I don't believe so at all. And I believe in that particular
situation. I mean, it was an issue that was not addressed by the court.
I
doesn't tell us anything about this issue, though.
I would agree with Your Honor on that point. I think Atwater focused more on the fact of Ms. Atwater's arrest for the alleged violations at hand and the fact that she was taken into custody in the first place as opposed to her processing. But I think with regard to this case, the City of Milwaukee Police Department had provided the lower court and this court with ample information relative to illustrating the reasonableness of the amount of time it took to process these individuals through the prisoner processing section. And the plaintiffs, now appellants, did not provide any information which challenged workload distribution, assignment of personnel, or any other issues which would suggest that the Milwaukee Police Department did not reasonably use its resources to process these people. Again, the officers worked at their tasks. I believe all that we had in the record was that they may have taken a break to have dinner, and that was about it. They continued to work to get these individuals processed through the jail and back out the door as quickly as possible, given the amount of people taken into custody during the course of the initiative, in addition to the amount of other people arrested in downtown Milwaukee on a weekend night. And that process does take time. So in any event...
How long was it with this initiative in effect?
I believe it ran over about 3 to 4 weeks on different nights when personnel would allow for the officers to be assigned to the initiative. And with regards to the policies in hand, I believe that the record illustrates that the Milwaukee Police Department's policies, first to arrest these individuals, summarily arrest them, relative to this particular initiative, when the officers clearly observed the individuals violating the ordinances in their presence, believe that policy was constitutional, it was appropriate relative to the situation at hand. There was no differentiation between arrestees, no differentiation among people. A very close attention was paid by the person who organized this initiative to make sure that all arrestees were treated the same and all people who were observed violating ordinances were arrested. The second policy relative to the length of time of detention, Chief Jones in his deposition had stated there is no set time. You can't do that because of the multitude of variables present or at hand during the time a person is processed. The policy is it's whatever is reasonable to get the job done, to complete those tasks necessary for processing and turn the person around.
Reasonable equals what the police department says is appropriate the length of time to get the job done and take care of the necessary steps.
I believe so. To get those steps done, get them done efficiently, given the resources available to the police department.
Is there any objective measure of reasonableness other than the assertion of the police department is?
As far as a set time, there is no set time. It's whatever is reasonable given the circumstances. And that relates to time of day, that relates to how many other prisoners need to be processed, the personnel on hand to do it, and a variety of other factors. And so given that there are so many factors available to officers in this processing process, it's difficult to have a set time. There needs to be some allowance for that variance of factors so
and
that...
Should there be some inquiry into whether the police were operating as expeditiously as possible in the circumstances?
I believe that the city defendants...
Is that an appropriate inquiry in this circumstance?
It is appropriate, and the city defendants did inquire. We did present information to the district court relative to that. Little to no inquiry was made relative to those issues by the appellant, but I think the information that is of record illustrates that this process was carried out as efficiently and as quickly as possible by those officers and lay people assigned to the prisoner processing section, with a mind toward protecting the prisoner, protecting the officers, and processing that prisoner as quickly as possible. And so with that, the City of Milwaukee defendants respectfully assert that this court should uphold the decision of the lower court in dismissing this case. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. Thanks to both counsel. The case is taken under advisement.